Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 37. It was, like, real ghosty today.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do a long-form discussion of the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So I'm going to rush through some stuff right now if you guys are ready. I'm one of your hosts, Matt.
Ready.
With me, as always,
is Pat.
And Cat in Hat.
Cool. Yay. So we're going to leave at the top of the stack so we get things going. Patrick, why don't you lead us off?
Alright, so top of the stack this week I have, and let me flip to the title page so I get everything right. Where is the title page? I should have written this down. I am very unprepared. this is Goddess Mode number 1 out of Vertigo, written by Zoe Quinn with art by Robbie Rodriguez.
Robbie Rodriguez, co-creator of Spider-Gwen.
Yay.
That's why that art looked familiar.
Yeah. This is an amazing book. I love it. Super cyberpunky, getting into some interesting aspects of society.
I felt like I was being beat over the head with a baseball bat. The only information was like more.
Colorful baseball bat, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's gotta hide the blood.
It's a colorful baseball bat that explodes into confetti when it hits you. It's like,
yeah.
We'll definitely be doing a discussion about this book
In
the not too distant future.
Stay tuned for
stick tuned.
Yeah. Whatever.
Click on the next episode.
Yeah.
All right.
Click here.
Kat, what do you have? Because I think I have the same thing.
It's Batman Annual number 3, which you have the comic of. It's Tom Taylor. I don't know who the artist is, though.
Otto Schmidt.
That name is awesome, and I love it. Anyways, I don't usually cry a lot when it comes to things like video games and comic books or reading. There are two things that have made me cry. The Spider-Man game and Batman Annual number 3. I, like, finish it. I'm like, I'm fine. You're fine, right? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, my heart. Yeah. Anyways, that's true.
That was the top of my stack as well. So I don't often cry in print as well. The two things that have made me cry are Batman Annual number 2 and Batman Annual number 3.
At least they're in the same realm.
Yeah, right? Apparently they just know how to make me cry. Like, that's the target audience for the annuals.
They're like, all right, we gotta see this guy right here. This is our target.
Right. It's like, kid's been watching Batman since he was 3. Let's make sure that we make him cry now. This was fantastic. This is an Alfred story. There's very much from his perspective, and Otto Schmidt's art really sings in this book.
Oh my God, so much.
I really wish he was doing a Batman book, because it's so incredible. His line work is just great, and yeah, I love everything that was about this book, and cried, of course.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah,
it's like,
annuals.
Tears on it.
Plus, Tom Taylor writing Batman, pretty exciting. Like, that was a really cool,
yeah.
I forgot what else he wrote.
Visions, I believe.
No, Tom King wrote it.
That's Tom King, okay.
The current Batman writer.
I always get them confused.
He wrote X-23, I think, when it was all new Wolverine, and he was writing X-Men Red.
Yeah, that's
right.
So,
all
right. A lot of Marvel stuff. Yeah. All right, well, we're going to move straight into the news to try to get things going. And a bit of... We're going to talk the trailers first. So,
all right, let's do it.
Well, we'll start with the Hellboy trailer. I think tonally, for me, this was a bit of a mess, especially when they kept talking about how this was going to be a darker movie.
I did. I thought I was watching a trailer for an 80s movie.
Yeah, and it felt very much like it was a sequel to the Del Toro stuff. Like, it didn't feel like it was tonally different.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was fun. I mean, like, they did say darker, and, like, I think they just, like... think if they kill people in more brutal ways, then that's a darker movie. But it's still, like, quippy. Like, it has, like, that sort of dry sense of humor that, like, the first two had.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I've never really... Because Hellboy... I lived a somewhat protective childhood, as much as my mom could do. But then there was the internet, so that... Yeah. Anyways. But with Hellboy, I was never really into it, because I was, like... I never really cared about demons, so...
Yeah.
It was not something I ever watched, but when I was watching that, I was like, what is this movie? Am I watching a comedy, or am I watching an action movie?
Yeah.
Which I think it looks more like they're trying to be like Marvel.
Right. It looks a little bit like it's the Thor Ragnarok version of Hellboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily mind. It's just this didn't feel like, especially after the first poster, I guess there's a heavy metal kind of vibe to it, but I don't know. There's
fire and demons and that kind of stuff, you know.
I don't know. Coming from over here for someone who's never seen Hellboy, I'm like, what the fuck is this? What is this?
I really like David Harbour as Hellboy, but I feel like he's doing a riff on Ron Perlman, and that bothers me.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you. My initial reaction was pretty mad to his character, because I think, I think he is just doing, like, everything in it just feels like a sequel.
Yeah.
But just, like, slightly different.
Right.
And so is it supposed to be, like, a new story then? And not a sequel?
Well, yeah, this one is based around, The Wild Hunt, which has to do with this Excalibur and traveling into hell.
Sounds legit.
It's pretty cool. And then, like, a Vampire Queen, that's who...
that sounds even better.
Mila Jovovich is playing.
I liked her.
Yeah, I mean, I like the cast. I think this is the kind of trailer that gets people who aren't in the comic book world to be interested in Hellboy, because I'm going to go see this movie anyway. Like, we're probably the core audience anyhow. Like, there's not a lot that they need to do for us to be like, we're going to go in the theater.
That trailer for me was super off-putting.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, right? Like, it didn't...
I was like, this is not a movie that I really want to see. If you put it on my TV, I'll watch it.
Visually, I liked it.
Visually, it was awesome. It was just... The music and then the dialogue and the scenes that they picked, just like like rammed into each other. They didn't melt, they just smashed into each other.
Right.
So. And you know, at that point the bleeding corpses are like, what's happening?
Yeah, so I don't know. This is kind of a weird first trailer. Just it would be interesting to see what the actual tone of the film is going to be.
Yeah.
I was hoping something a little bit more.
I'm kinda hoping that they're gonna go round of hopefully the next trailer, maybe, but even then it's like, okay, so now really what is this movie? Because you went from here to here. I don't know where I am.
This is the trailer to get butts in seats for people who don't know aren't familiar with the property and realize that it's not a sequel.
Yeah.
All right, so I move on to another trailer that now officially feels as if it is a sequel to the original movies, and that is Men in Black International.
Was it let out that Liam Neeson was going to be in it before this trailer?
I don't think so. I didn't know he was in the movie.
Yeah.
And it seems like he plays a very large role in the film. The other thing was all of the references to the first two Men in Blacks that were all over this film. The painting of the actual event against Edgar in like the entryway.
That I totally missed that.
Yeah, I was like, I clicked for me.
It's the little. I never remember the little dudes. The little freaking cockroaches.
The cholo.
Do they call them the roaches? Like what?
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, it's something like that.
It's been a long time since I've seen the first movie, especially.
But I'm excited for this.
Yeah,
this one looks really good.
The technology has finally caught up to as big as the ideas are in Men in Black, so it's like it's much cleaner looking now.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris Hemsworth is playing Thor having fallen from Asgard and now being stuck on Earth is what certainly looks like.
Yeah, the hammer joke.
The hammer joke at the end was fantastic.
That was an amazing catch.
Tessa Thompson just being fantastic.
Yeah.
She's just wonderful in everything she's in. So.
Well, I'd have to say shout out to, what's her name? I never remember her name. Emma Thompson?
Yeah, Emma Thompson.
Yeah. Seriously, I love her.
Yeah.
She's great. She talks and I'm like, you have my undivided attention.
She looks fantastic with white hair too.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, you've aged wonderfully, Emma Thompson.
I hope she's like the M.
She's certainly, she looks like what Rip Torn's character was in the original films, and I can't think of what his, designation was.
Oh, the weapons guy?
Well, he was, like, the lead of the American...
Oh, wasn't he? The chief.
Yeah, I don't remember what his, like, actual, did they just call him chief?
I think it might have been, it's been a long time.
Sounds like we're going to watch the Men in Black.
I really do want to watch the first one. That is a heartfelt moment at the end of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, like, bringing back the neuralizer and, like, I thought those were noisy crickets. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think that's what the joke was. Yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's so exciting. I really like that one.
Fun, yeah.
Honestly, the one thing I remember from that movie is the alien that's giving birth.
Congratulations. It's a squid.
Driving around in a Ford POS. Alright, so we're going to stay in the realm of cinema, and Entertainment Weekly revealed the first images from Aladdin. And, okay, so we had a discussion not too long ago.
There's a reason about that the acronym for Entertainment Weekly is EW.
Ew.
That was ew.
They do have a track record of putting out, like, the worst, like, promo images. I'm serious. They can make amazing movies look so meh with their photos.
I think that makes you want to go back and look at good movies and see what they did.
Oh, it's a meh. Like, look at the Star Wars pictures. Look at, like, the Infinity War stuff. Like, everything's always too well lit. You know, like, it doesn't have, like, the feel that the movies themselves do. They put them in awkward sets. So Lion King, we had the discussion about maybe, like, it seems like it's too close to the originals. This one maybe needed a little bit closer to the animated films.
Apparently from, I was kind of flipping through stuff this morning, I didn't necessarily read it, but apparently there are Disney fans who are pissed off that he's wearing a shirt.
Aladdin?
Mm-hmm.
I actually agree with them. There's a few things. I'm not pissed
Matt
off about
wants to
it.
See some sweet bod.
I mean, like, seriously, he's supposed
want
to be
my $20 worth.
He's a street rat living in a desert. Like, oh, yeah. If he has a cloak to throw over him at night, that makes sense. But the dude is going to be running around, you know, like literally trying to steal shit. He's going to be dying of heat.
What was he? Was he wearing a thobe? What was?
He looks like he's wearing pajamas.
I forget what nice. He looks like now. I just like saw it and like.
Which
my
I mean,
mind,
looks,
like
ostensibly looks comfortable, but I think Jasmine is the one thing to not complain about because she looks great. Jasmine looks fine. She's.
I just.
Oh yeah, he's
I mean,
just
we've
wearing
all
like
told
regular
her my
like
total,
shirt.
My little rant about this. I'm over this.
He's
I
just wearing regular
see this.
Shirt and pants.
Are we going to even address the genie at this point?
So the best part is they're saying he will be blue in the movie, and then someone said, and then somebody actually made him blue, and it was horrifying.
I thought the blue worked. The fan edit or it's oh I can't remember the artist's name, but he's like
he looks like Avatar.
Okay, that's
I'm sorry.
I think anytime something's blue now, people automatically go to Avatar. I don't know that I agree with that, but
he is. I don't know.
He doesn't look furry. It's not. Like... He's right, like 9 feet tall.
I was like, all right, if he's furry, that's a little weird.
Yeah, exactly. this was not the promos I think that Disney wanted to put out for this kind of movie. And why, if you know everybody's clamoring for the blue genie, why didn't you just give us a CG shot in one of the interior photos?
Makes me question. Like,
yeah,
it makes me question what they're trying to keep hidden. Because now I'm wondering if he's actually going to look like how he does like that in the entire movie.
Yeah. I do.
Or he's going to look like. Some big
right, like is he gonna
genie.
Be actually looking like a genie? Mm-hmm. The bracelets to me too also didn't they seemed it was too they're too ornate for my taste because they're supposed to be the bands that tie him, you know, like mm-hmm. that's two of the things that tie him to the lamp, and they're just too ornate. Like they should look very basic because they should just be that simple thing that's a tie,
yeah.
And that's just that's a design nitpick, and it
yeah,
is a nitpick.
His
and
hair
not,
goatee combo for me, like.
It's
I like
it's
what
weird.
They're trying to do with it. Like, I
keep seeing people drop
yeesh.
Him in the Men in Black one, and I'm like, I'd be okay with this.
Yeah, I want him to cameo in Men in Black for
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Like that would
oh, yeah.
with, like
either him or Tommy
and I
Lee.
Love Will Smith. So from this one, these photos though, I had one thing that was a really deep thought for me was I don't know that the age of what was done in animation actually works for live action. Because I always pictured Jasmine and Aladdin being a lot younger than the actors that they chose.
Mm.
Like, Aladdin looks in his 20s, which just feels kind of weird. Like, it was kind of the story that... One of the things that made the story sad is the fact that Aladdin is still, like, 14 years old. You know, like, he's literally a kid on the streets.
Yeah.
And...
That makes that wedding sequence at the end very questionable.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, it works in animation, but it's not something that translates that way.
Yeah, and I think it's, especially, like, converting animated into live action again, like, just looking at, like, the scenery, like, they have very, like, colorful wardrobes for the people, but, like, all the background is super beige and, like,
yeah.
Which I get, because that's what you're supposed to be, but at the same time, when you have the trailer with these, like,
well, but
I'm from Arizona. Brown is literally my least favorite fucking color on the face of the goddamn earth, but they actually gave them more hues when they were going over the sand and everything.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The trailer was great. Like, I liked that as a teaser trailer a lot, and I don't know. This has got to be. We're going to see, like, an actual full trailer, and we're all going to be like, yeah, those photos were terrible.
Yeah, I know. Like,
right. Here's bad pictures. They showed,
it's going to be the Titans photos.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Was it? They had.
Versus the show being.
They had Abu, right? But they didn't have Jasmine's tiger, and I was like, fuck you!
And Abu looks awesome. Yeah. He looks awesome. So I don't. Yeah, whatever.
I got super upset that I didn't see no tiger pictures. I was like, gotta throw things.
I think of the tiger's name. Anyway, that's
No, it's not She-Ra. It's something else.
She-Ra.
It's not Bagheera.
The right. Princess of Power.
Anyway, all right, we're gonna move to some comic book news. We're gonna kind of rush through things here. We've got Batman Who Laughs spinoff. The Grim Knight is gonna be coming out in 2019.
Is it spinoff of a spinoff?
Raja. Yeah. That's why. It's Raja.
Raja. That's right. That's right.
Okay. Win. All right. Next.
I'm cool. It's Punisher Batman. I'm not really sure I enjoyed the Batman Who Laughs one or miniseries yet. I loved the one shot. Well, yeah. My thoughts?
Meh.
Punisher Batman. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah. I didn't get through Metal, so a spinoff of Metal.
Of a spinoff of Metal.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Marvel/Sony
Spider-Man, the video game, is getting his own series written by Dennis Hopeless with art by Michel Bandini.
Nice.
And from the looks that I saw of it, too, is it's not... I think it's going to go over what happened in the game, which I'm kind of interested to see how that comes out in print.
I almost... like, that's a question for me, is why wouldn't you get Christos Gage to write it if it was...
Probably because he's doing Superior Spider and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I like Dennis
Hopeless. That's why I'm reading Superior Spider.
Looking at Michelle's art, I'm really excited for this because...
Oh, yeah, and I love his suit, so I'm, like, super...
Yeah,
super
this game. Suit's cool. Suit's real cool.
Nice.
We've got a single shot of Joy Van Wade as Cyborg from Doom Patrol. Looks good. Looks fine.
Yeah, they're going to really put Cyborg in Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a huge interest in Doom Patrol. I mean, I'll probably watch the first ones to see if I have an actual interest, but I'm kind
of wait a minute. You don't have an interest in Doom Patrol having watched the Doom Patrol episode of Titans?
Nope, not really.
We're going to have an after-camera discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like that was... It was not Titan's peak, but that was definitely, like, the turning point, and I thought it was the Doom Patrol that really... Okay.
All right.
All right.
Shots fired.
Wow. We're
dizzy, and now I'm shooting things. Yeah. That's great.
I'm going to go with a low point here so we can, once again, tear back up to positivity. Border Town has been canceled by DC and Vertigo at 5 issues. Due to the writer Eric Esquivel's accusations of sexual misconduct. And I don't know how deep we want to get into this. It's sad.
I mean, honestly,
it sucks.
It's sad because even they're saying that you can return stuff to retailers. They've even brought that up. Which I'm like, okay.
Issues 1-4 will be returnable if you want to.
And then 5 and 6 are not. 5 and 6 have been canceled.
Yeah. I feel super bad about the rest of the creative team, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, Villalobos' artwork on it and, you know, letterers, colors.
Yeah.
Everything works super well in that book. And it just sucks that he has to have been that kind of person.
Yep.
That did those things.
Yep.
So... Yeah, her statement about it is pretty sad too. His first accuser, I guess,
which was an ex girlfriend.
It was an ex employee, actually.
Oh, geez.
He was her boss at a toy company.
Gotcha.
So that makes it a little bit extra.
Yep.
So
there's a lot of stuff out there. Go ahead and read it for yourselves. Don't want to bring us too far down here.
Yeah, exactly. But
sucks. It really, really does suck that people are act this way.
Even in the world of comics, you think of comics as a much more innocuous sort of genre.
Yeah.
But, oh well. Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to more positive stuff. Well, positive negative. G. Willow Wilson will be leaving Miss Marvel, the character that she created, and is going to do the thing that great characters do, and it's going to change hands. It's going to go into the hands of Saladin Ahmed with art by, and I apologize, Minkyu Jung?
I think it's Minkyu Jung.
Minkyu Jung.
Maybe.
Okay.
I may be mispronouncing it.
But it's going to change titles, too. It's going to be called The Magnificent Miss Marvel. exciting because Ahmed is in, like, the running for, like, best new writer in the past few years.
Yes.
This is also representative of, like, why Stan Lee is great is because his characters lived on and G. Willow Wilson is finally...
She wrote a really heartfelt letter about, like, quitting and why she's doing it, and mostly just because she was scared of repeating herself with the character, and that's what she said, like, hopefully this character will be still in the pages after I die and after you die and after, like, everyone dies. And, like,
yeah.
That's what it
is.
So
means. Is that why she's leaving? Because I didn't really look too far into
Well, she's
that,
doing two other books.
Yeah, because she's doing the Image one.
And then she's also doing Wonder Woman.
And then she's also...
How long are you supposed to be on Wonder Woman for?
They haven't announced an end for her run.
And then she's also coming
out
with a
new Wonder Woman writer.
Yeah, she's also coming out with a new novel, I want to say, in February or something like that, and book tour and all that stuff, so...
You need sleep.
Yeah. No, right? Seriously. You know, I just realized something really funny is Ahmed had worked with Christian Ward on Black Bolt, and now he's taking over... writing Miss Marvel, and Christian Ward is working with G. Willow Wilson on the Image comic book.
Oh,
so
that
it's like, some sort of weird, like, swap, creative
yeah.
swap.
They're like, tag out.
It's like, I like this dude. You should totally work with him. Yeah, would you want to take over my book?
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, you
it's
just
like a WrestleMania right there. I'm here to help!
Yeah, there's an issue of Miss Marvel hanging in the middle of the ring, and everyone's trying to climb up the ladder.
It's a ladder match. And G. Willow, like, instead, she takes the chair out and she hits Christian Ward and drags him away from the ring. Yeah. So Ahmed just goes up and grabs him.
Oh my god, that's one of the most amazing images ever.
Mind you, it is 9 o'clock in the morning right now, and this is how our brains are working.
I don't even watch WWE.
I just watch WWE now because I keep seeing stuff about this character, Becky Lynch, and I'm intrigued. She dresses up as Chandra from, like, from Magic the Gathering.
Well,
it's like
was,
one of her entrance attires. I'm like, all right.
There was
what? I'm down.
There's also a dude who dresses up as like a super Vegeta in one of them too. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way that stuff
comes out.
I have
Hulu. I should be able to watch this stuff. But I'm excited about this. I think the character is fantastic. I think what has been done in like random one shots. I always think of Cosmic Ghost Rider having her as the captain. So.
Yeah,
it's time.
I love Miss Marvel. Miss Marvel is what got me into comic books, or like, you know, superhero comic books. Like, literally, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her.
Reading that first volume, I say to people that this must have been what it was like to read Peter Parker's first story.
Whoa!
I really do think that
ooh,
it's
chill.
that high in the echelon of storytelling, so...
I mean, I would agree, but I'm a little biased. Oh, oh my gosh! So yeah, Saladin, do well by Willow, do well by us, please.
By Kamala.
Do well by Kamala. Good is not something you are; it's something you do.
Yes. All right. Well. I have been so excited for this.
Except next, let's go
Friday.
Drop everything else.
So speaking of Peter Parker, he's a small character in this fantastic film known as Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. We should probably just do quick reactions early because I really do want a deep dive and we do have some time to do it. So, amazing. I don't know that there's a film like this that could be done in live action. I don't think you get away with some of the creative decision making with this many characters. Yeah, I absolutely love this film. Patrick?
Wow. I mean, I was hyped going into it, and I was even more hyped coming out of it. Like exponentially. 100 times more hyped? I don't know. Incredible. Cat?
I mostly just want to know the people who, like, downgraded it on Rotten Tomatoes because you're terrible people.
what does it have on Rotten 98 Tomatoes?
98 from the last 90, time I checked.
98? You two people out there! Who are you?
Yeah.
It was at 100%, and then it dropped, and then when we went to see it that Friday morning, it dropped to 98, and I'm like, you! I don't find you!
Yeah, you stand up in the middle of the theater, which one of you is
well,
it?
And I don't want to name this person because I'm not giving them that much credit. They don't deserve that, but they actually called out the animation as being blurry and hard to follow, and I was like, after watching the movie, I went, oh, so you're bad at watching films, is what you told me. So, and this, we're gonna get into the long form now, so I'm just gonna go with it. There are effects that they use in this film to change where your eye is looking. So if you're looking at something blurry, you need to move your eyes because they're highlighting something else in the frame.
I was wondering what that was, because I noticed that in the corners and stuff.
They moved it so that you'd look at the spider on the ground, or that you'd look at a piece of graffiti on the wall. Like they changed your focal point, and you just had to follow along. And they don't tell you that they're doing this because
that's literally what you do with comic books. So suck it.
That's what you do with comic books. Your eye moves to a different part of the page. So that's the other thing for me, that one of those
You're gonna tell me that name later.
We can look it up on IMDb. Fuck you. I shouldn't say that. You're entitled to your own opinion.
It sucks.
You might need to go back to the history of animation and try to figure out where you're
entitled to that opinion, but 98% of people disagree.
The animation itself was something that I couldn't believe it as I was watching it. It never took me out of the movie. I was just always into the fact that, like, they made such crazy choices. The difference in styles between characters, the glitching of the world.
Oh my god, that's so cool. I think it's a Banksy.
That was hilarious. the use of sound effects and onomatopoeia. You thwip it out and they fucking thwip comes on the screen. Screams, why are my thoughts so clear? And his word bubbles are popping up in the screen.
The best part to that was just that there was a video game reference in it. Okay, you released X. All right, there's X.
I mean, like, this was, for me, everything that I wanted out of a comic book film and didn't know that was possible, that you could really do this stuff.
I would actually have to go along with that and disagree with you on the other point. You said it didn't take you out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It took me out of the movie because I would be sitting there in the theater and I was like, this shot is incredible. this sequence, like when they had like the paneling come up, I would be like, this sequence is so good. Like I'm like sitting there like analyzing
You got a problem with cartoons?
Fuck, right? Like that was such a jab at anybody who watching the movie saying that, you know, that like, well, it's an animation, so, you know, we should put it on a different tier. And Spider-Ham actually says it. He says, you got a problem with cartoons?
And then he hits someone with a fucking hammer. It'll fit in your pocket.
Oh, my God. That, I was laughing so hard, I was crying at that moment. Here's this hammer.
The humor.
It'll fit in your pocket.
Yeah, and the humor in it is so, like, Spider-Man-esque. Like, it's like almost like dad humor.
Right.
But it's like, because it's not like dirty or like cursing or innuendos or anything.
Well, yeah,
like
you had
that,
Spider Dad. It was Peter Parker. Not the
okay.
Figure.
Yeah. So for me, I identified more with Peter Parker than I expected to, and I was really upset with that because there's the moment where they do okay, and this is another thing we need to talk about, the origins, like how they do go through that and so the running good. Joke. But when they're doing his origin and they show him saying, got a divorce, buried Aunt May, and then they show him in the bathtub in the suit crying with the water on. And I was like, holy shit, that's real life right there. Like, that was, for me, that was so real. It was unbelievable. And like, I was laughing at it because for me, as a, you know, a 34-year-old, shit happens. Like, life is not always fun. So seeing that moment, and it was like, that's fucking real. Like, that is exactly what life feels like sometimes.
Did you just call me fat?
Yeah. He goes on the first mission in his sweatpants.
Yes.
totally giving up Spider-Man.
So I want to talk about the different origin stories, because that was a joke throughout the movie, and it could have gotten old, and it didn't.
No, well, it then in the end too, like, it all culminated to so every time they introduced it, they would, you know, say, I'm Peter Parker, save the people, and then, you know, like the other coming in, I'm Spider-Ham, I was bitten by a radioactive pig. And then so they did it, yeah, and every time they did it, well, because they only did it, they did it for Peter, Gwen,
they did it
the
for
three of them at
the three
same
of them
time.
At the same time.
So
what is this? The freaking Rubik's
Cube? Oh, the Rubik's Cube
is
joke.
Is it blue?
is this purple?
Nicolas Cage from the black and white dimension.
And that was like, and that was a really deep cut, because if you're not really paying attention, you don't realize that it's, that he's from black and white, that he's just not a black and white character. But then they show his universe like popping through the collider, it is all black and white.
Yeah.
That end moment is like, I'm gonna take this with me. I don't understand it yet, but I will.
Yeah. In the credits, they have him solving the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, in the very end. And then, of course, at the end of the movie, it's the very last cut, they slapped down his Spider-Man number one. Yeah. And that was, and they didn't even say anything, too, which it was so good, you know, like.
Yeah, it was like those moments there, just what could have fallen flat or been tired, they made it such an essential part of the movie that you, when you saw the three and you got towards the end of the film, you're like, okay, I want Miles to do his now. Like, it has to, it's time.
I'd like to point out that one of the costumes was the video game one too. And when they were going in there.
Yes. There's like that costume room, and I actually have the art of the Into the Spider-Verse in front of me right now. They have the big time suit, they have the
caught a lot of them. I mean Spider-Man hits in this weird I cape. Know but then
the cape. Joke. So what's that? That's a cape.
But he's like holding it up.
Yeah.
Can we say like the best version of Dr. Octopus that's been on screen
oh,
before?
Oh wow,
like,
yeah.
Viv was or is it Liv?
Olivia.
Yeah. So
Liv. Yeah. Wow, yeah, the Superior Octopus.
That's a version created for the movie.
No. Who was the voice actor?
Oh.
She's not in the Ultimate Universe?
No.
I thought she was in Otto. Spider-Man.
I went looking through it because I was like, I couldn't figure out who this character was.
I thought she was in in Spider-Gwen's universe. I thought she had a female Dr. Otto actor.
Maybe. But that was like, Gwen didn't know her. Like, that was Gwen knew that was the place to be.
Yeah.
How about
Gwen's hair? Oh my gosh.
Gwen's hair was part of the, what did you think of that? Gwen's hair was part of the story.
Yeah. Her design being what it was.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, why doesn't Captain Marvel have this haircut?
Right?
That's all I could think of.
It's so good. Like, the intelligence of the way that the story unfolded, you fell in love with every aspect of the story that was given to you. You loved Uncle Aaron, even though you knew he was bad.
Yeah.
You loved that relationship, how he was. You love absolutely, and the least amount of screen time, she needed more, but Miles' mom, absolutely, like, it was
Leo Morales.
Oh, my God. It was like shades of listening to my mom when I was younger.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, you know, because my parents are fairly like old now.
Yeah,
I'm an old man myself, so you know my parents are old. But remembering like the lightness when I was younger, it was really unique moments for me being a Puerto Rican from New York. Like him listening to his headphones and drawing and singing, but not really knowing the words properly, felt very at home to me. It felt like I was almost watching myself on
screen. God, I love just that dude's voice. Anyways.
Just the character writing. Yeah, and then Mahershala Ali, too.
As Aaron.
That's why.
Yeah, the prep.
It's the chick who plays in Dexter, the lieutenant. That's
what's her name?
That's who it is.
Luna Lauren Velez? No, that's... Rio?
That's his mom.
Yes. Boy. Who was Olivia?
That's what I was working on. I haven't got it.
But yeah, just the
Catherine Han. Dr. Ock.
But yeah, the character writing in general.
Oh! Catherine Han, she was a... She's one of the... in Parks and Recreation, she's the other campaign manager that comes in.
Oh yeah,
so
okay.
She's great. I love
her. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
Stanley's cameo made me cry.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, yeah, the character writing in general for me is like really what like blew me away for that movie. It was just so precise and it was concise and like cleverly admitting like, you know, there's jokes and there's like humor, but it all like ties into like.
Yeah.
And their character, like, everyone is just so well-rounded. Even, like, his mom, who only gets, like, two minutes of screen time.
And they, not only did they write that well, boy, did they put the right voice actors behind everyone.
Yes. Wilson Fisk,
Liev Schreiber. And they played on the story that modern Marvel fans are familiar with, because of Netflix, we know his love for Vanessa more from that than we do the comic books. It is part of his character, but it was like that's so fresh because of like the Netflix series that you like you immediately got that audience that has been watching Netflix going, oh yeah, I know exactly what this is. And then you're like, oh, he has a kid?
Yeah.
Like whoa. It was like, whoa, wait a minute. This this voice cast, so
this crazy.
This was nuts for me. Like I was really interested in Jake Johnson as Peter. You know, I was like, this is kind of weird. Is he going to take me out of the movie because he has kind of a specific voice? I'm watching the first 5 minutes of this film going, that ain't Jake Johnson. What the hell's going on right now? Because they had a distinction between universes. The idealized Peter was an idealized man. It's Chris Pine. You know, like, this is the guy that gets Wonder Woman's eyes, you know? Like, he was the ideal version of Peter Parker, and they never advertised him as being part of this film.
Yeah.
So, I keep telling people, don't go to IMDb, because you don't get spoiled. Don't get that. Because that's a wonderful moment, is hearing him and hearing how loving he is. And you get to Peter B. Parker, and you're like, eh, life sucks. Whatever. One of my favorite moments in the film is when Peter realizes that he can probably get back home, and he and Miles are talking, and they go down the ladders outside of Miles' house, and Miles goes, wait, with great power, and he just turns and goes, don't finish that statement, I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Like, that was... holy shit. Like, there's some gravitas to these characters, to the way that this story is unfolding. This is a Peter who's heard this his entire life, who saved the city, probably saved the world multiple times, and he doesn't want to hear it. You know, he's been through the stuff. He's been through it all, and...
yeah.
That was... I thought that was... the fact that you could get that much depth from the side character Peter Parker in the Miles movie, and it's still very much Miles' film, is incredible to me. It's a testament to what was done.
Yeah. No, there's... yeah. And the amount of time, I was just trying to crunch some quick numbers, and I want to say there's at least, like, 12 or 15, like, fully, like, three-dimensional characters that are introduced in... what is it? It's just an hour and a half runtime.
No, it's 117 minutes.
Yeah, it's even shorter than that. So
no, it's almost 2 hours.
So it's almost 2 hours.
Oh, almost 2 hours. Like,
it's one of the longer animated films. Than so, thank God.
It is a bit longer, but still, in under 2 hours to introduce like that many characters that you then come away loving, even like a throwaway like Spider-Ham, you know, is like everyone's a breakout success. Mary, you know, his mom Aunt May is in there for what, like a minute, and you're just like, yes,
take this out of my house.
Aunt May. That was the best Aunt May ever done. And I'm not talking like best Aunt May on film. That's the best Aunt May's ever been.
Whoa.
She was involved in his life. When she touches his face. Okay, so that whole moment of...
if we're going to include that, everything, Gameverse will compete with that.
Gameverse will? Okay, I haven't played the game. Okay. But the whole, when they're right outside of her house, and Peter B. Parker goes, oh, I'm not ready for this. Having buried Aunt May before, there's that moment of, oh God, I'm going to see my dead aunt that's, you know, like I had to hide all of this from. And she just touches his face and goes, you look tired.
Oh,
and it's like, oh my God, like how simple of a line to just encapsulate that. But then she's involved in the whole thing, and it's Lily Tomlin, right?
Yeah, she even looked, like, the funny thing is they, like, designed, like, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking of Aunt May's character, they designed her a little bit after her.
In this book, you'll see, like, one of the first designs for her was closer to Lily Tomlin, even than
really?
What the design ended up being.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
so take this outside, hits it with a bat.
Yeah. She was so fun. And then the moment, the little quick... somebody pointed this out in something else I watched, that she's almost doing the tea reference from Get Out when she's sitting in the darkness and she's just spinning her tea. It's like, you're late. to Miles when he gets there.
I totally didn't catch that. That's kind of weird. But actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
I have a couple more things, but I haven't monopolized this conversation. Kat, what is some of the stuff you want to talk about?
I mean, honestly, the biggest part was just Stan Lee's cameo. I'm like, that was... I'm like, don't cry. You don't need to cry. This is a happy movie. You don't need to cry. That was honestly probably one of my favorite cameos of him in that, in the collectibles thing.
I don't know. I missed Stanley's cameo. The screen got really blurry. My eyes couldn't
see
it.
Yeah, why were people chopping onions in movie theaters? Yeah, like, they really shouldn't.
I talked to management about how dusty those theaters were afterwards. They really need to get a better janitorial staff in there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was... The best part to that was no returns.
No, yes. And just,
like, thank you.
Oh my god, it just kills your soul in, like, the best way possible, and then, like, immediately cuts to, like, a joke, and you're just like, these are tears of laughter.
Yeah.
I'm laughing now. I was laughing the whole time.
Dude, the worst part was just at the very end, too, with the credits of his, when I was like, why'd you bring it back?
Yeah. So, supposedly, now I've only seen the film once, which is a travesty, because this deserves... Multiple viewings. My wife is like, yeah, when is this out on Blu-ray?
we
need to watch this 700 more times.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Supposedly Stan is throughout the film. Like,
really?
He's one of the people who jumps or walks over Miles and Peter, and when Miles is like, thanks, New York, when they're just laying in the middle, that he's on the train.
Oh, really?
That there's this idea that Stan is all of us, so he's all throughout the movie.
Oh, that's
fine.
Awesome.
I don't need to finish this podcast. You know.
Right.
And then going on with his bit about the suit, you know, Miles says something like, oh, you know, the suit's too big for me. He's like, it fits, kid. It's a little big now, but it always fits
something. It always fits eventually.
Yeah, it always fits eventually.
That's when I just started like...
and that fits the same theme of the movie as anyone can wear the mask.
Yeah. So, yeah, like... This, like, because, you know, Stanley, while all of his cameos are great, usually,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're just, like, thrown in.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, here's, it, you know, it cuts away from the action and storyline mm-hmm. to give him his cameo. But this one is the only cameo he's done that truly forwards, like, both the plot and the theme of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and that's
it was
to me,
essential. It was an essential scene. It ties into...
Yeah.
Miles' growth. He's like, okay, I have these abilities. I can be Spider-Man, so I should dress the part.
Yeah.
So he has to go somewhere. It advances the story.
And to get that pep talk from Stan Lee,
yes.
too.
Yeah. Well, the thing thing that he's more connected to than anything else is always going to be Spider-Man. So it's probably the other portion of it. I just keep thinking back to it. All right, kid, let's go. And then I pull the mask down and...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's a wonderful, wonderful moment. We have not talked about Spider-Woman very much. And
that's because, honestly, for as much as I wish she was in the movie more. That is what I will say, is I do wish she was in it a little bit more.
She steals every scene she's
in. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I just wish she was in it more.
She was incredible. My wife, right afterward, was like, yeah, all the Spider-Gwen. give me all of the Spider-Gwen.
I love how they, like all had, like, different fighting styles, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were very specifically animated.
Well, they were all,
like,
yelling at them, can you, like, all the stuff that he wanted, they needed him to do.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
like, can you do... She mentioned some, like, with the grace of a dancer.
Right.
What she said, and I was like, well, that's fucked.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, because she mentioned, or she's like a gymnast or something
mm-hmm.
like that, and she
mm-hmm.
has, like, the ballet shoes as part of her costume, and so, like, when she's fighting, like, it's very...
It's balletic,
like,
it's dance-like.
Yes,
it's,
exactly.
And so it's funny, Chris Pine's Peter Parker at the beginning is the idealized Peter Parker. She's the idealized Spider-Man, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's the perfect version of the Spider-Person. She's always on. She's always focused. She uses her Spider-Sense in a different way. She's dance-like. She's using the webs to catch. She's being creative with all of her movements. There's no wasted effort. It's like,
yeah.
She's perfect.
And she doesn't have all, like, the gritty... background that
right.
everybody else does.
She has the death of Peter
yeah.
as
oh,
part of her
yeah,
yeah,
she does, but she doesn't, like, carry it like
yeah,
the
she
other
does.
Spider people
she,
do.
She
no, I mean,
she
like,
does it in a different way.
Yeah.
It doesn't
weigh on her. Like,
no,
it,
yeah, it doesn't bog her
like
down.
It
is the motivation to push her forward, but it is not what... It doesn't bring her into the darkness.
Yes.
It's a way of moving past the darkness. It's always there.
Yeah.
I thought she was probably the Well, I don't know. Miles was probably the best character in the movie, but Gwen was very close.
Yeah.
What was her name? Gwanda? Or Gwanda.
Gwanda. I am Gwanda.
So I'm from South Africa.
From Africa. South Africa. I'm a huge fan.
Hey.
Oh my god. The hey callback. I'm a huge, huge fan of Miles's costume in the comics. I think it's one of the best designs. Shout out to Sarah Pichelli, who was also eyeing Miles' Rolodex on his phone, which was hilarious to see. Apparently Bendis is on there as well, but that was one I noticed immediately.
That's funny.
When I first saw the trailers and saw Miles' suit, I'm like, okay, that's cool. It isn't the suit from the books. I'll give them, it's fine, you know. Watching the movie and seeing how his art was part of his character and making his graffiti stickers and putting them elsewhere, when you get to the moment that he makes his own suit, it's through graffiti.
Yes.
He uses his graffiti art to paint one of Peter's old suits black. And what it does, because the way that the webs are designed, it pushes the reflective coat through the black, so it looks like it's black and gray, and then he leaves the red gaps and then sprays the red spider over the black webs.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it all made, like, they gave you an element that tied it to being straight up Miles. Which is, in many ways, better than just having Nick Fury hand him a suit. You know, like he,
yeah,
it's entrenched in the Spider-Man lore. It's Aunt May's there giving him the web shooters that were designed for his smaller wrists. He then takes one of Peter's old suits, his original mentor that was supposed to be there, but he actually is mentored by the other Peter, and then he changes it with the element that is also a way he was tied to his uncle. His uncle lets him go wild in the sewers with the graffiti. So it's this tie to all of the elements that brought him together to be Spider-Man.
It's interesting that you mention it now, because the movie really is just about, like, Miles' mentorship, like, from all the different, like, not just because it is his uncle and, you know, his dad, yep, too, and Peter B. Parker.
I love
and
you.
Spider-Woman.
What?
yeah, and all these things, and it's really, like, he's taking all these different aspects that, you know, are from different people, like vastly different people, but they're all part of him.
Yeah.
And he's forming that into his own spider person.
Yep.
You know, and then when he puts on the suit, you know, it does have more meaning because we've watched his, like, a real progression here.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's Miles' film. There's, like you said, 15 well-developed characters in this movie, but it's Miles' movie.
Yes. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. If listeners at home, if you have not watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse
yet, you probably shouldn't be listening to this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. We hate you. And, no, I'm just kidding. We love you all the time, yeah, even though you make poor life decisions.
we're still here for you.
This is a bit of a PSA, too, is if you want movies like this to be made, you need to go see them.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, it was number one at the box office. This thing should have broken record after record. And
it apparently
it's sad.
Did break one.
This should have been an $80 million December movie. There's no... 43 is...
The shitty part is what they have to fight against right now is how many Spider movies there are, and that's probably one part of it. And I will say, yeah, if you haven't seen it, you definitely
non-controversial opinion. It's the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
Easily.
I think it's the best Peter Parker we've ever had, and it's easily the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
I haven't really
easily. Thought. I can't think.
I'm
of
just like that. I'm back on the game again, so you're gonna have a hard time because I really liked it.
Well,
but I mean. You go see it. I don't really have any other things than that.
Go see it. Go live in this world.
Yeah. And then, they have two sequels already in...
Mm-hmm.
Is it production or are they just, like, talking?
They're in
about
pre-pro
it?
Right now.
Yeah, pre-production.
Because I'm pretty sure they have directors.
Well, they're doing...
Lined up,
so I know that they're talking about doing a spinoff, which, like, selfishly, they're like, oh, yeah, then... Because the talks are the next one are going to focus on... Miles and Gwen's relationship.
See, and which, I didn't hear that it was a focus on the relationship. I heard it was they're focusing on Miles and Gwen.
Yes.
And that's what I had.
The relationship is something that will develop through that story, but I
But the
I
other portion of it is they're like, yeah, we want to do Spider Girls. I'm like, I want that. I want all of that.
Well, yeah, especially with, supposedly Lauren Montgomery is part of that.
Well, the other part of it is I don't, I know about Spider Gwen. I know, like, I know that Spider-Woman exists, and then there's Silk, and I don't know about any of those characters, and those ones kind of need to be, like, in my opinion, like, shoved to the front, because yeah. I know one of them actually is a superhero while pregnant. That isn't women empowerment. I don't know what yeah. is.
I'm hoping Silk is really the through line of that movie, because we're gonna get a lot of Gwen. Gwen is going to be the central element for both of these.
Well, yeah, because they can sell... Yeah. I mean, they can sell Gwen all day long. Yeah. I guarantee you, like, after that movie, there was probably an uptick in trade paperback sales.
Shit, I'm going to read it all now.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think I saw something that they... Because they said those two for sure, and then they also mentioned something vague about future projects of the franchise. So they're definitely not... There's only plans on making more.
Yeah. How do you push the envelope more than that movie, though, you know?
I have never, it's watching a comic book is what it is. It's literally the closest thing that I think we'll ever get to.
This movie, in my opinion.
Spider-Gwanda now.
This is my final thought. This, not only, if it doesn't win best animated feature at the Oscars, it's a travesty. This movie should be in the 10 for Best Picture.
There's some heavy competition.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters at all. I think this is leaps and bounds animation wise above anything that's ever been produced.
I'd have to agree to him.
Also,
Isle of Dogs
was this year, and stop motion always.
Isle of Dogs is in right now in the animation discussion. It's fourth on the list.
This year. Oh really? And this one's above it?
This is number one. This is amongst the animation community. This is number one.
Okay.
Except for somebody who was apparently angry about it.
we won't. He's not part of the animation community. He's just somebody who thinks he knows animation.
So. All right. Awesome. Well, before Nat gets too salty. Yeah. All right.
The table flipped over.
That's great.
Yay! We get to do it. All right, guys. Well,
let's say bye then. After that.
Bye.